The Israel Report with Rolly Marks for the latest information and the stories behind the news.
Rolly Marks, how are you?
I'd have to tell you, Howard, I am so jealous. I'm looking at that hamper and absolutely drooling and salivating and very jealous that I can't enter. So I'm just going to mope and cry in my whiskey.
Well, I was just going to say, we're having an Ardberg as well. So, yeah, that's not going to make things any better. But, Rolly Marks, you are going to be in this country sometime soon and are going to be
very
doing the
soon.
Israel Report from studio.
Live and in studio and hopefully with a whiskey.
Of course.
I have to tell you, having tasted the Ardberg, very, very nice, very, very smooth.
Yep, it's an amazing, amazing whiskey. Hamas could provide infrastructure but prefer to build tunnels. Could this be true?
Well, this is why we do sometimes need to imbibe the whiskey, because I think it is out of pure frustration. Yes, this is an op-ed that was featured in the Times of Israel today by Avi Azakharov, and he's one of the foremost experts on dealing with the territories, having served in the army. He has a very, very high ranking. And for those who have watched Fauda on Netflix, the fantastic Netflix show that is set in Israel, he is one of the co-writers. But yeah, so this got me thinking, and also on the back of what we were discussing yesterday, Howard, that all these human rights organizations that tend to excoriate Israel, like BDS, shouldn't they be protesting and applying the pressure to Hamas that they're are wasting valuable funding that they get from around the world? Because Gaza, I think, is one of the most, if not the most, funded area in the world in terms of aid. They could provide hospitals, they could provide schools, they could provide the necessary electricity infrastructure to support their civilian population. Instead, these poor people are living in absolutely inhumane conditions, and the blame has to be placed squarely at the foot of Hamas, because this is an internal Palestinian issue between Hamas and Fatah.
And it does seem to be that the world is finally starting to notice. But I think maybe it's because the PA and Hamas are at loggerheads. Could that be the reason?
It's one of the reasons, and it's also a reason to deflect from their internecine fighting, is to kind of blame Israel or to engage in some kind of conflagration with the Jewish state. But I think the world is also starting to notice, because now that we see Qatar, the suspension of diplomatic ties by the UAE, Saudi, Bahrain and Egypt, and the downgrading of diplomatic ties from Jordan, I think it has exposed Qatar for being an Iranian-funded hideout. It has exposed the relations between Qatar and Iran to be very strong. And also we know that Qatar heavily funds not just Hamas, but Al Jazeera. All these, it seems like all the chickens are coming home to roost. I'm hearing a lot of clucking, and it isn't because of the scotch.
That's absolutely right. You know, we really are starting to see things just lining up. It's almost coming together at the same time. Tillerson says the embassy will move if and when.
Okay, well, this is, you know, we're all watching the developments about what is going to be happening with this proposed embassy move from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. A lot of us are very, very disappointed that President Trump did sign the six-month waiver. And when asked whether or not Trump will be moving the American embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, and despite the White House saying that it's only a matter of time, Rex Tillerson, who is the Secretary of State, told the House Foreign Affairs Committee that he not only has Trump not made the decision, but it's also a question or not if that move happens and really when it will happen. So no confirmed news on the embassy move. I know a lot of people are very, very, very disappointed, myself included, But we also have to look at the situation on the ground, and the situation on the ground here and in the region will dictate how the Trump administration maneuvers with this proposed embassy move.
And of course, we will keep an eye on that one. The Polish Prime Minister defends a migrant policy at Auschwitz. Tell me about this one.
Well, this really just this makes me sick to the stomach. You know, whatever you feel about Europe's migrant policy, you know, that's your own personal opinion. But the death camp Auschwitz should never be used as a stage for making any kind of political statement. And the Polish Prime Minister, her name is Beata Szydło, she has come under extreme criticism yesterday because she gave this speech at the site of Auschwitz, which we know is responsible for the death of over a million Jews, including countless children, and not just Jews, anybody who was deemed a subhuman by the Nazis, but particularly Jews. It's a massive graveyard for us, and many of us lost members of our family at Auschwitz, and it is not the place to be making any kind of political statement. And she said that Auschwitz is a lesson showing that everything needs to be done to protect one's citizens. And it's very hurtful. To me, it's almost like people taking selfies at Holocaust memorial sites or death camps.
Because you could almost see Hitler saying the same thing. You know, the death of the Jews was really the elimination of the Jews was to protect the German citizens, wasn't it?
Absolutely. And I'd be curious to hear what our listeners have to say, but this hurts. This really sticks in the craw. We've just finished marking Yom HaShoah just over a month ago. We're looking at levels of anti-Semitism around the world quite unprecedented since the Second World War. And here at the site of the mass extermination of the Jewish people, she decides to make this kind of statement.
Very, very unimpressive. But what is impressive is El Al's first Haredi female pilot. I misunderstood the story. I actually thought it was Netanyahu, Bibi Netanyahu's pilot. But does she work for El Al? How does this work?
She works for El Al, and she will be flying Prime Minister Netanyahu. Well, she is flying Prime Minister Netanyahu and Mrs. Netanyahu to Thessaloniki in Greece for a trilateral summit with the Greek and Cypriot leaders. Mm-hmm. And not only is she flying him, she actually shook his hand.
That's interesting. That's very interesting.
I mean, I want to know the Haredim who ask that woman be moved aboard El Al flight and make life very, very uncomfortable for some of us.
I would just love to know
what they, how they would respond to being known that they are being flown by a woman.
Yeah. Absolutely, absolutely right. Well, actually, Rolina, I was saving this for you as well, as I was listening to an Israeli comedian earlier today, and I liked his theory. He said that the reason that they're banning Wonder Woman in so many Arab states is because they don't, it's not because she's Israeli, it's because they don't like a woman with a speaking part.
That could be it. It could be. First of all, the woman has a speaking part. Second of all, she's got that gorgeous husky Israeli accent. Maybe it's the outfit. But listen, if you look like Gal Gadot, you know, I would want to walk around, weather be damned, in a tiny little Wonder Woman outfit with superhuman accessories.
Absolutely right. But it's an incredible story, this pilot. I would love to know her story, because you know for her to have grown up in a Haredi environment and decide to become a pilot and to go that route. And to achieve the way she has must have been an incredible journey for her.
Well, I can tell you a little bit about it. Her name is Nechama Spiegel Novak. She was educated at Beit Yaakov in Jerusalem. She is married. She has four children. She lives in a Haredi community in the Jerusalem area. And at the age of 20, she decided that she wanted to become a pilot. But she received her training and her license in the United States. And she was accepted into the El Al pilot course course, and, you know, which is difficult to get into because she has not served in the Air Force. So she hadn't clocked those sufficient flight hours. And, I mean, imagine some of our enemies finding out, you know, if she had flown for the Israeli Air Force, that they have a Haredi woman, a Dutch observant woman who flies a fighter jet. I mean, second only to being Wonder Woman, Howard, I would love to be a fighter pilot.
Incredible.
But yes, yeah, she was pregnant while she did the course, and after her maternity leave, returned to the course. She completed it, and it is incredible. And she says her husband has been extremely helpful, even though it means she's away from home for a long period of time. And not only is she a trailblazer to come out of Beit Yaakov institutions in Jerusalem, but she is inspiring other Haredi women. And a friend of hers, her name is Yael Goldzamir, is the first ultra-Orthodox to become a six-year medical student at Hebrew U. So, you know, she's really blazing a trail. And, you know, while we're speaking about Wonder Woman and Israeli woman really breaking glass ceilings, here we have two women from a sector of society which has long been seen as completely contra to what we are talking about. So it really, really is fantastic to see this.
Absolutely wonderful. It really, really is something tremendous. Time is 5:26. Rolene Marks, that's where we're going to leave it.
Shabbat shalom and a happy youth day to all of you tomorrow.
Absolutely. You have a fantastic weekend. A Shabbat shalom.